Welcome to the
Hi, this is Jim Swilly.
Metron Live Podcast.
Metron
coming to you live.
Sphere of influence
from beautiful historic Midtown Atlanta
in the year
that's the reason for
of our Lord 2019.
This is my Metron.
July.
Now let me help you discover.
Time is going by very quickly. Half of 2019 is already over.
What?
You better carpe the heck out of that diem every day because it's going too fast to waste on nonsense. There's your sermon. Thank you for coming. Drive safely. God bless you. Now, this month we're really concentrating on meditation, especially as we lead up to the meditation weekend. And I am doing, I guess you call it a series. The title is Meditation in the Mind of Christ, Healing the Subconscious and Living as Spirits in the Material World. And I really did hear the voice say something to me, because I'm going to talk about some things I've never talked about before that really kind of surprised me. If I've ever talked about it, I don't remember. So if one of you remembers that I have, you know, in 47 years of doing this every week, you may have repeated yourself a few times. You're like, tell me about it, Bishop. We know all of your stories. Well, I'm sorry. I talk a lot. But let me get into this, and then I'll tell you what I believe the voice said to me. I want to start with this one verse of Scripture. This is Proverbs 20:27, and in the voice, it says, the lamp of the eternal illuminates the human spirit, searching our most intimate thoughts. It's one of my favorite proverbs. In King James, it says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the innermost parts of the belly. Many times Hebrew got translated in English, and word for heart gets translated as belly. But when the Hebrews talked about belly, they weren't talking about your stomach. They were talking about your inner man. And literally, the Hebrew actually says, searching the hidden rooms of the heart, which I love that. I love that concept, meaning that there's more inside of you than you even know. There's hidden potential inside of you. And so I like, you know, I love looking at all of these different translations and holding that diamond up to the light and turning it a little bit and catching different facets of light. So I want to show it to you again in the Amplified Classic. Proverbs 20:27. This is the spirit of man, or that factor in human personality which proceeds immediately from God, is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. Michelle, show me what's the third thing up there. Is it a quote I have? No. Okay. I must have had it three times. This is in the Concordant Literal Version. A lamp of Yahweh is the life breath of mankind, searching all the chambers of the inner being. So that's very similar to the hidden rooms of the heart. The implication there is that your heart is a house, and it has lots of rooms in it. And some of those rooms get closed off. Some of those rooms get reopened. This is something that is difficult for some people to talk about, but I think it's a very mature idea. I think once you've ever loved somebody, you never fully stop loving them. Even if you end in a bad marriage or whatever, there's a part of you that has an affinity for them. But sometimes a relationship becomes so damaged that it's hard for it to be maintained. So you nearly have to put that person in a room in your heart and just say, this is your room. You can stay there. Let's be amicable with each other. And I'm not just talking about marriage. I'm talking about friends that you fall out with or whatever. I mean, my landscape is littered with broken relationships that I still don't know what happened. I'm like, what was that about? Why did y'all leave? You know, people in church world, church people are just liars. You know, church people won't tell you when they're mad at you about something. It's some kind of BS like, my season is ended. God's told me to move on. I'm like, really? Like, well, did something happen? No. But I'm like, well, of course something happened. You don't just say my season's ended. That doesn't even make sense. But, you know, it's usually 30 years later after somebody's drinking one night, they call me at 3:00 in the morning, like, I want to tell you what really happened. I'm like, well, I already knew that anyway, but whatevs. So there are people that a lot of people in my life that I've just had to say, well, in my internal house are many rooms, and I'm just going to have to put those people in those rooms, and I may have to kind of lock them away for a season. You know what I mean? Because I know what's going to happen when I open that door, but I don't want to eliminate you from my life. I appreciate everybody who was ever a part of my life. I was looking at yesterday. It's interesting because, I mean, many of you have been married more than once, and you know what it's like to have a child with somebody, and your DNA mixed with somebody else's DNA has created another person. That's just amazing. And yesterday, Melissa Hall had posted a picture of her new grandbaby, beautiful little boy. And I was looking, and I thought, you know, it's so interesting because he looks like his daddy, and he looks like his mom, and he looks like him. It's so interesting how that DNA creates this third entity. I could see both. I can see it with my kids. They'll either look a certain way that looks like their mother, or say something that, you know, that I know where you got that from, or whatever. It's not a bad thing. It's just like, wow, that's amazing how that happens. And you know, when you have this idea that, well, this person is my soulmate or whatever, I'm iffy on the whole soulmate issue. I don't know if when you say there's a soulmate, because I think it nearly puts too much pressure on a relationship. I think you can have soulmates. I mean, I don't know if y'all know this, but I feel the people at Metron, I feel soulmated to you. Did y'all know that? I didn't know. Bishop, I don't really like you like that. Well, yeah, I do. That. I feel like, I know, it's like, well, this opens up a whole new world. No, but I'm saying there's a part of me, you know, especially those of you that I have history with, I think, well, it's kind of like a marriage. You know, we've weathered some storms and we're still together, and our relationship has taken different, you know, different incarnations. I remember Ernie saying to me one time, he said, you know, when Leona and I first started coming to church, and now we never thought we'd even meet you because the church was so big then. You know, we didn't know you. And she said, now the idea that you know us, you've been to our home, you visit us in the hospital, you know our names. He said that we would have never, he said, not that I didn't love that, but I love this so much more because we have a relationship with you that we would have never, that is what you said, wasn't it, Ernie? I'm going to put words in your mouth. It was something like that. But I thought, well, that's interesting. That feels like a marriage. It's like, well, you know, I look at my parents where they are in their marriage, and it's gone through so many different incarnations, and now it's such a different thing. You know, my mom is a caretaker for my dad. They're still married, but it's like, it doesn't even vaguely resemble the marriage that I knew when I lived in the house with them, whatever. So I do feel that. But when you have this idea that there's this one person, this one love of my life, soulmate or whatever, you're putting too much pressure on that person. And even back in the day when people used to believe for spouses and they make a list of what I want in the spouse, and sometimes people would submit their list to me and I'd look at it and think, that person doesn't exist. And if they did, I don't want to tell you this, but they ain't going to be marrying you. I mean, you know, like, I mean, what you're wanting, I'm not sure that person exists. And if you can find someone that you can share your life with and really feel like, well, okay, I can believe God or something bigger than us led us to each other and we're at this place in our life, but it doesn't, y'all understand what I'm saying? It doesn't, like Ken's ex-wife, the mother of his sons, has gone through breast cancer recently. And so he checks up on her a lot. That makes me love him more that he does that, because that's the mother of his boys. I would think, how would you not? Of course you should. Like, it doesn't make me feel threatened in any way. I'm like, well, yeah, that's, and some of you remember when his dad passed. Some of y'all were at the funeral home. I was over there introducing you to, which I wasn't sure she was, you know, she's kind of shy, so that was probably new for her. But that person was a part of the person that you love. It was a part of their life. You kind of have to, that has to come, especially if it's a blended family, that kind of has to come along with the territory. I don't know if you remember, there was a Designing Women episode. It's so muggy in here. Is there no one now? See, I even got cold people saying. Did you? You did? Well, go use a four-letter word with them. Huh? No, the fan doesn't help the mugginess. Thank you. But the fan just makes it feel damper. Thank you for having my back on this, Sonia. The rest of y'all that always think it's too cold in New York, take it up with her. I deserve it. What are you doing encouraging him? We just now got it to where it's not so cold in here. Now you egged him on. Way to go, Sonia. Just now got it bearable in here, and now you're wanting to refrigerate us again. But I remember there was a Designing Women episode one time where remember the character Charlene, she married this guy. He was an army guy. His name was Bill, and he was conflicted about the relationship because his wife had died. And you know, some of you have been widowed, and you know, it's being widowed is very different from being divorced, because you still feel married to the person. You didn't go through a divorce. So I think when widows or widowers reconnect with somebody, it's a whole other process they have to go through. And I remember the Julia Sugarbaker character went to meet him, and she said, "What was your first wife's name?" And he told her Nancy, and she said, "Well, I know Charlene. She's got the biggest heart of anybody I've ever met, and I know there's enough room in her heart for you and your Nancy." And I thought, wow, whoever wrote that script, that's important. The room, I hadn't planned on saying this, but there must be some reason I'm saying it, but the rooms in our heart means that life is complicated. I don't know if you've watched the Netflix series, Grace and Frankie, but the whole dynamic of it's Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin. They play two women whose husbands worked together for years, who finally admitted that they were gay, and now they're together. And whoever wrote that script, I thought, well, somebody must have been through this. There's a whole different thing of gay men who were married to women who had a life with them. It's like, it's something that I think the rest of the community might not understand. I'm only saying, I know, just like, wow, Bishop, you're 5 minutes into this and you got it. No, but it's, love is complex. I don't think it's complicated, but it is complex. And the more secure you become in who you are, the happier you're going to be in your relationship. You just are. No, it's true. I don't think they'll mind me saying this, I've actually learned a lot from Doc and Frances, because, you know, Frances is a big cheerleader of mine. Like, she really, you know, she calls me her guru or whatever. And I've asked him on a couple of occasions, like, does that bother you? I mean, because this is, I'm doing what you do. And he said, no. It's like, that makes her happy, and she's happy, and she's happy, I'm happy. I'm like, okay. But that's good. I'm like, wow, y'all are really evolved. That's very cool. And we're that way. You know, we're like, that's the way relationships should be. Now, having said that, let me get to where I really want to talk about today. That was your free part. In this Joseph Murphy's written a book about the subconscious, and this is one of the quotes from it. It says, "As you sow in your subconscious mind, so shall you reap in your body and environment." Now, this is what I heard. I was thinking yesterday, before I did an outline, so I usually do my outlines on Saturdays, send them to Michelle. I said, how do I explain the subconscious and the conscious? And just clear as a bell, I heard the voice in me say, the subconscious is female and the conscious is male. And I'm like, wait, what? I've never said that before. I've heard teaching about right brain versus left brain. Now that, you know, typically the left brain is more what we would call the masculine virtues, like analytical, statistical, whatever. And the right brain is more what you would call feminine energy, which is like compassion or intuition, creativity. And that a very well-integrated person has male and female characteristics. that if somebody's all male or all female, they can hardly function in life. And this is beyond, I'm not talking about sexuality here. Gender and sex are kind of different things. You understand? Y'all are big boys and girls. You understand that? So I was thinking about that. I thought, wow, is that a thing? The subconscious is female and the conscious is male? I don't know. So I Googled it. And sure enough, it's like a lot of these teachers have written, books have been written on this. I've never heard that before. I've never thought of that. But it kind of started opening up some things to me that will help me convey to you, even while we're meditating this month and why we're talking about allowing the subconscious to heal itself. I think I have one more scripture. This is Psalm 51:6, and this is in The Voice. This is when David was repenting over the whole Bathsheba thing. And in King James, it says, you desire truth in the inward parts. Here in The Voice, he says, but still you long to enthrone truth throughout my being in unseen places deep within me. You show me wisdom. I want to say this as delicately as I can, but even when you think about the anatomy of gender, all of the female reproductive parts are internal. The male reproductive parts are external. I think the biology says something about the spirituality of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that you need both. You know, people say gay people are anti-straight or anti-straight marriage. We're like, no, they're not. No, we're not. You gotta, men and women don't hook up. Ain't gonna be no more people. So we understand that concept. And even beyond sex, there's a synergy that men and women still have that it's indefinable. That's why so many gay men have really strong friendships with women or with their mothers, or that's why there's a, not in any kind of perverted way, but there's a relationship that mothers and sons have, that daughters and fathers have. There just is. I mean, I worship my three sons, but I have a different relationship with my daughter, and I don't know how to explain it, and they're not always that happy about it. I've probably done more for her than I have for the three of them combined, but it's just, you know, as modern as I am, there's still, you know, that first night she was showing me the place where they live now. I'm walking around because she's staying there by herself. Her husband was in Los Angeles. That's what's said out loud. It's because they want to have a wedding later. She's going to be so mad. She knows I said this, but they're already married. But anyway, back in my day, that was better if you were having a baby with somebody, but different times now. I'm like, why wouldn't you want people to know that? I don't want people to think we got married because of the baby. Okay. All right. Namaste. If you're streaming, don't be mad that I said that. I love you. You know all I've done for you. But, you know, there's just something about, I never went to where they lived and checked windows and doors. I mean, you know, I just figured, well, y'all can figure it out. But with her, I'm like, Christina, are you sure? Like, make sure you lock this back door. And I went down and checked the cellar, you know, because first time I'd been there. Just, these are things you might not think about, but I don't know how accessible this house is or whatever. And those are just, that's a dynamic that is beyond sexuality or sexual orientation. It's just, there's just a male-female synergy that creates things. It creates things in the natural through actual sex and conception, but also in the spirit realm. I don't get over my skis here. Let me try to take this the way that it was kind of being distilled to me. The subconscious is where you feel things. And the subconscious, you know, whether you realize it or not, women are kind of ruling the world. Oh, everybody got really quiet. Because even if men are in places of power, The Bible doesn't say if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy, but it might as well. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Now, there are some things that need to be fixed in our world, for sure. I mean, this thing with the women's soccer team winning, was it their fourth cup? And they produce more revenue than the men's team does, but they get paid a fraction of, yeah, this is a good time for y'all to make some noise about that. You know, if y'all hadn't won and nobody, and you weren't filling up the stadiums, I'd say, I don't know, girls, I don't know if you're going to be able to sell this idea. But when you're, you know, holding the cup, this might be a time to say, look, I understand back in the day, men were paid more because typically men were the breadwinners in the family. That's not reality now. Men and women are breadwinners. And it's such a no-brainer. Like, I'm amazed that women don't just walk around pissed off like half the time, because aside from the fact that homemaking is hard work and has no compensation for it, now you got women that are still homemakers and are still out bringing home the bacon and not being compensated for it. So, yeah, in a lot of ways, it's still a man's world, and there are still things that need to be tweaked about it. The world is constantly trying to get its equilibrium on everything, on you know, race issues and gender issues and, you know, just all kinds of stuff. Even with all this horrible stuff that's in the news this week about young girls being sexually raped. It's the word rape. You know, our attitudes have thankfully changed about that, you know, because the old school ideas, let's just don't talk about it, don't bring it up, just sweep it under the rug or whatever. And it doesn't go away. The problem with sexual abuse, just because you, you know, push it down inside, doesn't make it go away. But back to what I'm saying is, this whole male-female dynamic where typically you think the man's in charge and it, like out in the world where everybody sees it, it looks like he is, but really, I know he's not. Y'all know what I'm saying? And that's kind of the dynamic of, I never knew a more alpha male than my father when he was in his right mind or whatever, but he always did what mom wanted. You know what I mean? It's like, on the surface, but in the real world, she's driving the car. No doubt about it. y'all know how it is. And for mature straight couples, you've figured out how to make that work, and it's fine, and it doesn't emasculate the man. It's just a different power dynamic. I'm only bringing it up. This isn't a lecture in gender issues. I'm trying to explain to you why you think your mind is running everything, but really your conscious mind is running everything, but really it's your subconscious mind that's running everything. And there are some issues that need to be dealt with, and that's why I think the positive part of my brain thinks that things that are being manifested in the world are implicit of spiritual things that need to get fixed. You understand what I'm saying? Like, there are, think it, talk amongst yourself. Thank you very much. Podcast people, I just drink water. That's what that was. Things that get manifested in the, well, like for instance, so many of our gender definitions are being challenged. Even in the LGBT community, like all these millennials, they're not binary anymore, like straight and gay or whatever. Now it's like, I'm male, but I identify as female, but I'm not, you know. And for me, it's like, That's too complicated. I'm old school. You're either gay or straight. What is all that about? But it has made me sort of think, all right, well, this is real to you. Let me try to understand, what are you saying? And I don't think it's all negative. Bishop Pearson preached something that was really, he's one of the few people I ever hear that, like, wow, that's something I never thought of before. But he was talking about, how in the astrological calendar, the age of Aquarius started in 2012. And there's a whole theological, sync up the Old Testament, the Abrahamic era with Taurus, which was the bull, which had a lot to do with blood sacrifices. So much of the Christian era was Pisces, which is Jesus, and the fish, of course, is such a symbol of Christianity. And then in 2012, I've written about it, I've taught about it, that I really think 2012 began the pouring out his spirit on all people, and it was the age of Aquarius. And that doesn't mean that just because we're in an age, an age lasts a long time. It doesn't mean that everything changes immediately. It means that changes start. And Bishop Pearson preached about, he said, what's interesting about Aquarius is it's a male figure that is pouring out the water, which is very much like Joel's prophecy. But in ancient times, water bearing was women's work. So here you have a male in a female role. And he was speaking that to the TFAM, even just about the role that same-sex loving people have in the revival and the restoration of all things. I thought, wow, it's really very interesting concept. Bring it back to what we want to talk about here. Well, the conscious mind isn't, I'm not telling you to do away with the conscious mind. You need the conscious mind. If we just turned off our minds, we couldn't have gotten dressed this morning. Now, there are some subconscious things, is there a pill you take every day? And sometimes you walk back into the kitchen and think, did I take that already? Like, the last prescription I had filled, I guess it's a sign of aging, they gave, the pharmacist handed me one of those things where you put the pills in the days, and I said, actually I could see the validity of this. Because if it's something that's automatic and you do every day, it's very easy, because you don't realize how much your subconscious is running the show. The conscious, you really have to implement it when you're starting something new. Like I noticed lately, about once a day, I will probably be over at Ponce for something at Midtown Place there across from Ponce City Market. Starbucks is there. Where I get my haircut is there. My dentist is there. I eat at Whole Foods all the time. There's like, we use that Home Depot. Like, there's nearly every storefront in that mall I use on a regular basis. And because of that, I'm finding I can't remember where I parked because I'm there so much. Because the other day I'm walking around, I'm doing the thing trying to hear. I'm like, oh my God, I'm not losing my mind, am I? I cannot remember. Because I'm there so much, I'm thinking, didn't I park in front of Starbucks? Or was that yesterday? And you realize your conscious mind is checked out. Like, I pulled in here listening to some podcast, and I didn't even think about where I'm parking. I'm just so, it's like automatic. I just pulled in, and I'm walking in, because I know these are all familiar, and whatever. And so sometimes, you have to have the conscious mind, or you'll be walking around the parking lot with your fob going, where's my car? I know I'm not losing it, but I swear I cannot remember where I parked. Was that today? Was that yesterday? Was that last week? That was yesterday, wasn't it? All right. Let me show you what, I've quoted this blogger before, but this Noctis Enoch, this really kind of says everything I wanted to say. It says, the relationship between the conscious and subconscious mind follows the principle of mental gender. Now, remember, I heard this in my spirit before I found this. So this was a confirmation to what I really feel like Spirit was saying to me. understanding the relationship between the conscious and subconscious mind is the whole secret to understanding the relationship between male and female. The reverse is also true. The conscious mind is the male, the leader, and the subconscious mind is the female, the follower. Well, you know what I mean. Supposedly. All right. The subconscious mind is a helper of the conscious mind. The more the workings of the conscious and subconscious minds are integrated, in sync, and in harmony, the more perfect the entire mind functions as a whole. The more creative and productive it becomes, The less harmony there is between the two, the more destructive it becomes, and the more it collapses and ceases to function properly. By that I mean, like, if there's a rift between the conscious and the subconscious, people have a tendency to move in one or two directions. They either go completely by what's on the paper, which, if you've ever made a decision without intuition, which intuition is more of a female attribute, you know what it's like. Man, on paper it says 2 + 2 = 4, but inside it just doesn't feel right. And then later you're like, oh, I should have listened. I should have, because the subconscious, the spirit, the female. I mean, I've taught you this before. I think the Holy Spirit part of God is the female part of God. So when you talk about intuition or witness of the spirit, all of those are more what you would call female attributes. I'm not talking about anatomy. I'm talking about gender. Gender is more than anatomy. Y'all with me? So hold that thought. It is not really your conscious thoughts that create your reality, but it is your subconscious beliefs. It is the subconscious mind, the feminine aspect of mind, that is the creative faculty. Have you seen a man give birth? No. It's only the woman that bears children. The conscious mind, now listen to this. The conscious mind, the masculine aspect of mind, conditions a thought into the subconscious mind in order to create a belief that manifests into reality. You know what he's saying there? The conscious impregnates the subconscious. The subconscious gives birth to reality. Now that's huge. That's why you have to be careful, little flip things that you say, because every little thought you think or whatever, it's impregnating the womb of your spirit. Okay? Like a seed that is impregnated into the womb, it is nurtured within and born as a child. That's why I use that first quote there about whatever you sow into the subconscious is manifested into your physical body. Let me tell you why this is important. The problem with legalism, like people who read the Bible legally are reading it entirely from a male perspective. It's like a contract. It's like, no, it says this and this. Jesus came along and seemed to be integrated male and female. The very fact that he could say, you've heard it said, but I say unto you. I mean, typically in a normal situation, don't you think about, like, I can remember, and sometimes it made things worse, but like if my dad was after me, he was going to discipline me, my mom always kicked into defense mode. Like, you know, well, he didn't really mean that or whatever. And many times I'd be like, just leave him alone. You're making him mad. You're making this worse. Just let it, you know, let us. But it's just a feminine instinct to intercede. I don't want to bring the room down, but if you've ever read the story of the Emmett Till murders in 1955, you know, the most horrific part of that story to me is that the women weren't upset about it. Like, you know, the idea of horrible, racist, bigoted white men doing this terrible thing to this boy is one thing. But you think about women saying, oh my God, you shouldn't have done. And the fact that they were, like, if you look at that courtroom trial and those women were supportive, it was like something about it just seemed so like, oh God, how could the women not have been moved? Y'all had children the age of this kid. If you don't know, he's a black boy from Chicago that went to Mississippi and whistled at a, supposedly now the woman before she died actually said she fabricated the whole thing. Good God. And really, people don't realize it, but the Emmett Till thing was probably as instrumental with the civil rights movement as Rosa Parks was, because it happened just a few months before. If people hadn't been stirred up about Emmett Till, I don't know that the bus boycott would have been as impactful as it was. But it was sort of like a perfect storm of people going, good God, really? You know, he wasn't just murdered. He was mutilated. I mean, it was horrible. But I remember thinking, like, I'm not surprised from men, but from women, you know, you think about women should have been, where was the mercy? Not that men can't be merciful, but it just seems like, you know what I'm saying? It's the woman's role to say enough, or, you know, any of you guys have ever been in a bar fight, that's what your girlfriend's supposed to do. Pull, you know, come on, baby, let it go. If you're with a woman who's like, go beat his ass, like you're with the wrong woman, she's going to get you killed. You're supposed to have a woman who's frantically screaming, and you're like, shut up, go sit in the truck. You know, that's what you're supposed to, but it's her role to say, let's bring this down. Because you balance each other. And there are times when the alpha male imperative is important. Things wouldn't get done without that. But if it's not balanced with the, you know, let's temper this a little bit, then everybody just goes, kills everybody. Do you know? And then this one, I found this other quote, and this will get us into the meditation part. It's a long name I can't pronounce. But it says, in the solitude of meditation, when your conscious mind becomes quiet, your subconscious reveals herself. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about men becoming like women. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying you are half of your mother, half of your father. You have 46 chromosomes, 23 from your father, 23 from your mother. You can't, whether you are male or female, gay, straight, whatever, you can't be a whole person if you don't have the balance of male and female instincts in your life. You just can't be. And if you're all female, you know, if you go female to its nth degree, there's no decisiveness. Everything's just feeling. And sometimes you do need to make conscious decisions. Sometimes you do need to be decisive and authoritative. And, you know, certainly when Jesus took a whip and ran the money changers out of the temple, he was walking fully in his masculinity. But when he wept at Lazarus's tomb, there was a lot going on. I'm not saying Jesus was gay. I'm saying that when Lazarus got sick, the disciples came to Jesus and said, the one you love is sick. So they knew there was at least a bromance there. And, you know, Jesus openly wept at his tomb. So there's a, like, how could that be the same person? Because it is the same person. And here's the meditation part. I think I'm not saying that meditation will feminize you in a negative way. I'm saying that if you don't learn to get quiet in your spirit, if you don't just embrace nature for just the embracing of it, not to go out in the woods and kill something, that's a different thing. When somebody said, I just want to, you know, I'm a nature lover, I want to go out and kill things. Well, I don't know if that's nature loving. I mean, I've hunted, I've killed something before, but I don't know if that's... Nature loving is embracing nature, feeling it, like, wow. It kind of sounds corny and archaic now, but did you ever learn the Joyce Kilmer poem about called Trees? I think that I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree. It, you know, it's got that old school kind of sing-song rhyme to it, but it's a beautiful, if you've ever really been taken by the majesty of a tree, you go read the stanzas of that. It's a beautiful homage to trees. Trees should blow you away. This morning, my view is changing a lot because this building that's being built. But I was looking at the trees that are right outside my window, and I thought, wow, it was just a few weeks ago there was nothing on these trees, and now you can hardly see. I can't even see the street down there because it's so full of foliage. That's just amazing to me. I mean, I've seen that happen 61 times, and it seems to be more surprising now. I'm like, that's just crazy. And in a few weeks again, those green leaves are going to be orange and gold and brown, and then they'll be gone again, and then they'll be back again. It's just like, what? That's amazing. If you never lived on the earth and somebody told you that, they showed you a picture of the tree and then said, this is what it looked like 6 weeks ago, you'd be like, how's that possible? They're like completely different things. They are the same thing. So meditation is not the elimination of the conscious mind. It's the revealing of the subconscious so that the subconscious can heal itself. And, you know, of all the marital counseling I've done in my life, which has been a lot, the one major complaint I heard more than anything else is from women is, he doesn't listen to me. I feel like he doesn't listen to me. I heard that complaint more than anything else. I feel like he tunes me out. He's not listening. And you know the whole thing about, I don't remember the exact thing, but apparently there's X amount of words that men are supposed to speak every day. And there's X amount of words that women are supposed to speak every day. And women's is like 5 to 1. And that's why, I've taught you before, especially among straight couples, especially straight married couples. Ladies, if a man says, if you ask him, is everything okay? He says, everything's okay. Guess what? Everything's okay. There's really not that much beneath the surface. That's not true with women. When you say, is everything okay? She says, okay. It ain't okay. It ain't anywhere near being okay. And if you don't know that, you don't know women. And it's not a good or a bad thing. It's just the difference of it. If a woman asks a man, know this about your relationships. If you go, what's he thinking about? He's probably not, if there's a ball game on, he's probably not thinking about anything. I'm not saying men are dumb. I'm just saying they're just wired differently. A woman can multitask. A woman can watch a thing and be thinking of something and talking to somebody and what, you know. Men are a little more, no, I said everything's fine. Everything's fine. Women, not so much. I love it. It's my favorite. I've told it a zillion times. It's my favorite Jeff Foxworthy joke. This is not really my brand of humor, but this actually was funny to me. I've told you before, but please laugh again at the appropriate time. He's talking about when women ask their man if they think another woman's pretty or sexy or whatever. And it was funny because this was years ago he did this, and he used the Sigourney Weaver, you know, the actress. Who you don't really, I mean, she's a nice looking woman, but you just don't think of her as being, you know, like, whatever. But this was funny because it's a true dynamic between male and female. He said, if you're watching a movie with your wife and you say, you know, that's Sigourney Weaver. She's a good looking woman. She's kind of sexy. He said, she won't say anything. She might even agree with you. But a few days later, when you say, hey, baby, how about going out there making me a sandwich? She's going to say, why don't you get Sigourney Weaver to go make you a damn sandwich? And there's actually a truth to that, because typically when women hear something, it goes into lots of different layers. And that's why, you know, men that try to lie to their wives, just give up, because you're married to Johnny Cochran. She's, you know what I mean? She's got dates and names and hidden videotape. You might as well just. I was watching the other night. Moonstruck was. I love Moonstruck. Anytime it's on, I end up watching it. I even know how many times I've seen it. And in the guy that plays Cher's father in it, Vincent Gardenia, he's cheating on his wife, and the wife calls him on it, and at the end of it, he says, when she has, she finds out she doesn't want to marry Johnny Camerari, she marries his brother. He says, just tell them the truth, Loretta, because they find out anyway. And that is kind of true. So how do we segue into meditation? All right, meditation is not abandoning your conscious mind. It's treating the female part of you in a special way to allow it or her to have a voice. Can I use those pronouns? Do you understand what I'm saying? You hear the phrase, you know, that guy's in touch with his feminine side. That doesn't mean he's effeminate. It means he can tap into his subconscious, which is a good thing. Because I'm going to tell you something. Some men have done some stupid stuff by not listening to the subconscious because they've lived in the conscious realm and been locked into it. And they've made bad decisions. But decisions can't always be based on statistics. And just because it looks good on paper does not mean it's a good thing. If you are going to go with your gut, I mean, think about it. Where does a baby gestate? It's like technically the stomach, but we call it the stomach. It's the belly. It's this area. That's where you start realizing there's another entity here, and I need to pay attention to this. Typically, male energy isn't as aware of this. Mercy's in the subconscious. And I was thinking about this, and maybe I'll talk about it next week, but I can't get the scripture off of my mind. It's in John chapter 7. It says, in the final day, the last day of the feast, Jesus stood up with a loud voice and said, about the Spirit coming, and he says, and out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. What's amazing is he didn't say out of heaven will flow rivers of living water. He doesn't even mention heaven. He says it will come out of people. God will come out of people. God will come out of the belly of people. God will be birthed. What did Paul say? I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you again. And I'm not throwing men under the bus here, but men typically think with their brain and with one other organ I will not mention. Because you think about the things that men have sacrificed because of a stupid sexual whatever that didn't mean anything, but they ended up losing everything over that. Sometimes it happens with women, but not nearly like it does with men. It just doesn't. Which is why men need relationships. This is some good teaching. But you're right. Mercy is out of the subconscious. Because, well, I would take it so this way. I would say forgiveness is out of the subconscious. Because if you try to forgive somebody with the conscious mind, you can't not remember what the person did to you. When people say, unless you've forgiven, unless you've forgotten, you haven't forgiven, well, how do you do that? So you have to find a way to process it from some other place because this can't come from your brain. Your brain is going to remember that, as it should, that something needs to record it. But you can't walk around with a big chip on your shoulder all the time. I love, I'm trying to come to an end here, but that last little thing that Jesus has with Peter at the end of John, you know, Peter had denied Jesus and you know, that whole thing. And then after the resurrection, Jesus is out there on the beach. And when Peter sees him, it says he just jumps out of the boat and starts going toward the shore. It's like he didn't stop to think, oh, I forgot, we're not good with each other. Like he was going completely intuitively. It was like, you know how they say, be the person your dog thinks you are? You know, because your dog just thinks you're so wonderful and doesn't remember any negative thing you ever did. Your dog's just like so happy to see you. That's kind of the way Peter, when he saw Jesus, he just jumped out of the boat. And when they interact with one another, Jesus talks to him the way nearly the way lovers would talk. I don't mean that in a dirty way, but he says, I need to know, do you love me? Ask him three times. It's unusual for a man to ask another man, I need to know, do you love me? And he did it enough to where Peter started crying. He said, Lord, you know everything. And he says, well, then feed my sheep. Meaning, what you did has not disqualified you. When I called you the rock, I still believe you're the rock. And the church will still be built in this revelation that you had that I'm the Christ. But there's a lot of conscious, subconscious, male-female dynamic that's working there because they're not communicating in a conscious level. They're communicating in a subconscious level. And that's really where forgiveness comes from, is when you say, you know, my head says I should never speak to you again. But my heart says something different. Did you get anything out of this today? All right. I think all of you are familiar with this, so I don't have to over-explain it, but let's bring the lights down. And those of you that are listening to the podcast, we're going to meditate, so I won't be speaking that much. But wherever you are, unless you're driving a car, don't keep your eyes on the road. But if you would, please sit up straight. Put both feet on the floor, empty your lap. BJ, bring my music up just a little bit more. You don't have to close your eyes, but you may want to. Meditation is largely about breathing. Thank you. Now, sometimes when healing to the subconscious takes place, your conscious mind isn't aware of it. So something could have just gotten fixed in you that you won't know for a while. This is way back. I remember sharing this when we were at Midtown Church, but I was playing. I had my granddaughters on the playground years ago, and they were playing in a group of little girls that were Sophia's age. And I could tell there was, usually when I take them to the park, I would stay off on the sidelines. I'm on my phone, you know, letting them play. But I could tell there was some altercation going on. So I walked over. I said, what's going on here? And Olivia, 3 years younger than the rest of them, which when you're really little, it's a big gap. And one of these little girls looked at me and said, she says, we're playing school and she wants to be the teacher, but she's not smart enough to be the teacher. And when she said that, I looked at Olivia's body language. She just went like that, and I thought, little girl, like, something's about to go down. I don't want to get into some issue with some mother out here. So I just spoke to Olivia. I said, Olivia, do not listen to what that little girl said. I said, you may be too young to play the teacher with these girls this age, but you're definitely smart enough. As a matter of fact, you're probably the smartest little girl in this group. I mean, I was saying it all. So we got through it, but after we left, I took the girls to get an ice cream somewhere, and Olivia, they're never bad. I mean, I've never have to threaten them or anything. They've always been just ideal. But Olivia was just acting out that day. I mean, everything, she was just impossible. And we're sitting there at a table. I said, Olivia, what is wrong? What is bothering you? And I remember what her little hands looked like. She said, I don't know. I don't know, Poppy. And I remember thinking, that's how it happens. You don't realize that you get a wound that goes down to your subconscious, and adults tell you, you know, get over it. So it just goes into some hidden room. And then years later, you're being triggered by something and you don't even know, like, what the, why am I losing my temper like that? So, I mean, you can drive yourself crazy trying to figure out every little, I mean, sometimes you're just being a jerk about things, but there's other things that you think, why does that trigger me like it does? And it's just interesting watching them grow up, because I could see, like, this is how things, now she got past it. She doesn't think that way now. But I thought, this is how things happen that really do affect your subconscious. And no matter how much your conscious mind tells you otherwise, the subconscious is really, you know, driving the car. So I think a lot of things are being equalized and fixed and brought into, I feel it with every meditation. I don't know how to describe it to you. I can't, like, if somebody said, well, how are you better? I don't know how to tell you. I just am better. I can just tell I'm better. I'm not as stressed. I'm not as anxious. I'm not as just better. So we will continue to do this until we do it on the beach. You get anything out of this today? That's good stuff, isn't it? All right, please remain standing. We'll play this for the YouTube audience. And
contributing to Metron is quick and easy. You can give anytime using any smartphone. Text the amount you'd like to donate to 404-620-5044. You will then receive a notification that you successfully completed your donation. You may also visit missionthenow.com and click the support tab to give there as well. When you contribute to Metron, you're also donating to the charity or organization of the month. Thank you for your investment into Metron.
Make it JSM, and I'll be back there to receive it. If you have cash, just pay it forward. It smells so good. That's frankincense. I speak blessing to your day, healing to your subconscious. Peace to your mind, health to your body. You have a productive day, a good night's sleep tonight, and an excellent week. And you wake up tomorrow saying, this is the day the Lord has made, or has enabled me to make. I will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless you. Go in peace. I love you.